Dore. Welcome Christmas, Christmas Day. They continued singing, Christmas Day is in our grasp so long as we have hands to clasp. The Grinch can hardly believe his ears. He begins to get furious, but then something happens. He suddenly puzzles how Christmas came. It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. Suddenly, the Grinch realized that Christmas is about more than presents or decorations or a feast. He has a thought he's never thought before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. Holiday has its origins in that word holy day. That's why we have holidays, because they're holy days. This is one of the most holy days in the calendar of the year. It is that day that is so much more than a Yule log or a holly or a tree. It is more than natural good cheer and giving of gifts. Christmas is even more than the feast of the home and of the children and the feast of love and friendship. It's more than all of these things together. Christmas is Christ, the Christ of justice, the Christ of charity, the Christ of freedom, and the Christ of peace. I have a little confession to make. I changed my messages last minute. I prepared all these messages and all these services before we went away a week and a half ago. And when I got home yesterday, I just felt a strong leading to preach what I'd planned for today last night and to preach what I'd planned for last night and today. So it is a little bit mixed up. Last night I spoke about light and Christ, which is really what we're doing today by lighting the Christ candle. And last night the theme was love. We lit the last of the purple candles, which was the candle of love. Love is really the strongest of all the doctrines that we would consider at Christmas time in the Advent season. Christmas is one that promotes the subject of love a great deal. On Christmas cards, oftentimes we have that word love written. In the stores and in advertisements, they entice you to buy things and that gift for somebody out of love for them. It is hopefully the right motivation for gift giving. The gift I give you, I give it because I love you. And we hear about Christmas love in the church. But what is behind all this talk about love at Christmas? Today's passage explains to us what is behind all of that. In verse number 8 of what Betty read for us just a moment ago, it says this, whoever does not love does not know God. And here's the reason why. Because God is love. It doesn't say that God loves or that he has a capacity to love, but it says that he is love itself. There are three statements like that, or two other statements like that in the Bible, that God is light and God is truth. But today we focus on that idea that he is love. If there is any love in the world, it has to find its source in God. If there's any love that I can express to somebody else, it is only because I first received love from God. Whether if I consciously understand it or not, that is the dynamics of the universe that we live in. And God's economy is that he is love, and I can only love because he is love itself. As a matter of fact, I would go on to say this, that you and I are our most human when we express love to somebody else. Here's the reason why. If God is love and we are made in his image, doesn't it make sense that as being a human being is being made in the image of God, that to really fulfill and to live out what it means to be human, that I must be like God, which is unconditional love to others. That's when we are most human. Some children were asked what love is. The responses were quite interesting and instructive for us as adults. One said, love is when my mummy makes a cup of coffee for my daddy and takes a little taste before she gives it to him to make sure that it tastes okay. Another said, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day. Another response was, you really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you really mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget that. And then one boy said this, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. And then finally, a 7-year-old boy said this, love is what's in the room when at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. That's what love is. But let's be honest, this subject of God is love is rather abstract, isn't it? It really just kind of floats around up in the atmosphere around our heads. It's almost like it's a bubble cloud, if we were a cartoon, that God is love, and what does it really mean? I think that it's abstract, it's greatly misunderstood, and I think that in society today, we associate love as something that should be making us feel good about ourselves. Let me give you some examples. I love my spouse when it feels good for me. I love my children in the hopes that they will love me back and I will feel good because they love me back. I love my parents if I have felt good about how they have loved me. I love my job if it makes me feel good. I love my domestic duties only if I feel like doing them. But what happens to these things when they don't make us feel good? Do we still love them? Generally, we will only love others in the same way or to the same degree that we perceive that we have been loved. Do you get that? That we will love others to the same way, in the same way, or to the same degree that we perceive that we have been loved in our life. But if we're going to be people that are going to mature and are going to grow past that, if we're really going to understand what Advent is all about, we must have a deeper understanding of what love is. The birth of Jesus Christ is the demonstration of that statement that John records for us here, that God is love. It's the actual demonstration of God's love for us. It takes the abstract concept that God is love. What does that mean? And God says, let me give to you the demonstration of it. I'm going to give to you my son. And here's a proof of it in verse number 9. It says this. This is how God showed his love among us. It doesn't get any plainer than that, does it, folks? Because he's just finished saying God is love. This is how he shows that love to us. And here's what he says. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Trust me. Did God feel like doing that? Probably not. Because you see, we as a human race had done horrible, sinful things to hurt God, to go against his standard of what was right. We thumbed our nose at him, but yet he looked down upon us with love. And he said, even though it doesn't, maybe it's not going to bring me good feelings, I'm going to send my son to die for them. I'm going to send my son to become one of them. Did God have good feelings when he saw people mistreat his son and question him and then did the ultimate wrong against him by beating him and whipping him and putting him through an unjust trial, wrongly convicting him and then nailing him to a cross and watching his son take the sins of the human race upon him and die in our place? Did that make God feel good? I don't think so. But he loved us in spite of those feelings. Love is the gift of life, is what this passage says to us. The love of God brings to us life. It brings us out of death because, simply put, as Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, that we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. Sin causes us to be dead, separated from God. But look at what verse 10 of this passage says. It says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. That is the ultimate act of love, that God would send his only son to be a sacrifice for us. Remember I said earlier that people generally only love others to the depth that we perceive that we have been loved in the first place. Guess what? You have been loved to the ultimate degree. Could there be any other act of love that would be more great than for one person to give their life for another person? I don't think so. And that's what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. He sent his only son to this world so that he could die in your place, and that he could give to you that opportunity for life, for eternal life, and for the blessings of life with God here on this planet. Do you have that life? Because you see, when you have that life, it opens up all the possibilities of life here on earth, of deeper and more meaningful relationships, but ultimately of life eternal in heaven with God. All of us must come to that point where we admit that we have been responsible for the death of Jesus, admit that I'm a sinner, make that confession. Receive by faith the advent of Christ into this world and into my life as my only Savior for my sins. Will you do that this Christmas if you haven't done that before? I'd love to know that if you did that after the service today. couple of weeks ago, our church, over the last 2 weeks, our church has been out Christmas caroling. One of the wonderful things that's happened with our deacon family groups, and again, I give a big thumb up to our deacons here this morning, because they organized three different groups of people that went out Christmas caroling. Now, we would normally have 10, 12, maybe in a good year, we'd have 15 people who go out Christmas caroling. This year, we had over 40 people that went out Christmas caroling, and we hit more places than we ever have before. It was wonderful. And Sue and I got to go with a couple of those groups. One of them was over here at the Parsley Nursing Home. And I have to admit, it's a little bit sobering when you're not used to being in a nursing home to go around in a nursing home, because it really shows to you what happens in life, is that all of these things that we become engaged in life gets boiled down at the end of life. It's not the cars, it's not the homes, it's not the experiences that we have in life. But really, your life can be boiled down to just one little room. And for some of them, it's not even a room by themselves. It's a room that they share with somebody else. But we came to this one lady's room, and we noticed on the wall, Sue and I both noticed at the same time, that she had all these Christmas cards just taped on the wall. It plastered one whole wall of her room. And so we just kind of poked our head in, and there she was laying in her bed. And so I'm assuming that she was somewhat infirm, maybe couldn't walk. I don't know that for sure, but she was laying in bed. But she was as happy and as pleased. Now, her life was reduced to that one room. But she was happy and she was joyful. And I couldn't help but think about that lady over the days after that, and it's been a couple of weeks since that happened, that part of the reason why she could be so happy is because there was something that had unlocked in relationships for her, that those cards all represented a relationship that she had had, even though she was in a nursing home and living in just one room. It spoke volumes to me. And that's what receiving the advent of Christ into our life will do for us. It unlocks it so that we have the opportunities to share life with other people. A favorite story of Christmas is the story of the old shoe cobbler. Forgive me if I've shared this with you before. I can't remember if I have, but it's worth repeating because it's a wonderful story. One day, this shoe cobbler, he had a dream on Christmas Eve that Jesus would come to visit him the next day. The dream was so real that he was convinced that it would come true. And so the next morning, he got up and went out and cut green boughs and decorated his little cobbler shop and got all ready for Jesus to come and visit. He was so sure that Jesus was going to come that he just sat down and he waited for him. The hours passed and Jesus didn't come. But an old man came, and he came inside for a moment to get warm out of the winter cold. And as the cobbler talked with him, he noticed the holes in the man's shoes. And so he reached up onto the shelf and got him a new pair of shoes. He made sure they fit and that the socks were dry, and then he sent him on his way. Still he waited, but Jesus didn't come. An old woman came, a woman who hadn't had a decent meal in 2 days. They sat and visited for a while, and then he prepared some food for her to eat. He gave her a nourishing meal and sent her on her way. Then he sat down again to wait for Jesus, but still, Jesus didn't come. Then he heard a little boy crying out in front of his shop. He went out and talked with the little boy and discovered that the boy had been separated from his parents, and he didn't know how to get home. So he put on his cloak, and he took the boy by the hand and led him home. And he came back to his little shop, and it was almost dark, and the streets were emptied of people. And then in a moment of despair, he lifted his voice to heaven and said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, why didn't you come?" And then in a moment of silence, he seemed to hear a voice saying, "Oh, shoe cobbler, lift up your heart. I kept my word. 3 times I knocked at your friendly door. 3 times my shadow fell across your floor. I was the man with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the boy on the homeless street." Jesus had come. The cobbler just didn't realize it. We have those opportunities every day of the year to demonstrate and to show the love of Christ to other people. If you have been so fortunate to receive that into your life, God calls us to share that love with other people. If I may just remind you of what our text has said to us this morning, in those last 2 verses, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. We love one another. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Dear friend, the best thing that we can do at Christmas this year is to first of all receive into our life that gift of love that God has given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Will you do that if you haven't done that already? Confess your sins. Accept Christ as your Savior. That's the reason why God sent him into this world. And then if you've done that already, will you do this? Will you make the promise to God, make the resolution to God that in 2017 you're going to be that cobbler, that you're going to see Jesus and the people who have need around you and live with an open hand and live with a home that is open and a life that is open to other people, to receive them just the way they are, holes in their shoes, perhaps somebody that is homeless, perhaps somebody that is hungry, and share to them the love of Christ, and you will know the love of Christ in your life in a deeper way. Father in heaven, we thank you for this text that speaks to us about the advent of Christ. And Father, we pray that as we contemplate on these ideas, that you'll help us, like what the Grinch did in that moment of that very famous Christmas story, realize that Christmas was something more than what he had thought before. Father, help us to see Christmas through the eyes and the love of Jesus Christ, and help us to be that vessel that when the shadows of people in need of your love fall across our door, that we would be those who would respond very quickly with an act of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together.